Antonio, I'm curious where the 20% number came from. We've talked about risks and benefits and the fact that patients are often interested in minor improvements. I kind of wonder, you know, if I were at a 10% risk or 8% risk of febrile neutropenia, would I want to bring that down? Granted, there are side effects and issues with growth factors. In the discussions that went on in the guidelines committee, how did that flesh out?
So I can tell you specifically for the ASCO committee, which was essentially derived on the basis of evidence. And at that point, what we have was clear evidence coming from the Vogel study that you were able to reduce the risk from 20% for approximately 20% to less. And if I'm just quote what we wrote in the JCO article, the 2005 update committee agreed unanimously that a reduction in febrile neutropenia was an important clinical outcome that justified the use of CSFs regardless of impact on other factors, so even economic factors. And that was when the risk of febrile neutropenia was approximately 20% and no other equally effective regimen that did not require CSF was available. So keeping in mind that actually the Vogel paper was a paper that had a mix of patients with metastatic disease and early stage disease, two-thirds of those patients had metastatic disease, prior exposure to chemo might have been more sensitive to the risk of neutropenia because of prior exposure to chemotherapy. So I would say that if by any chance there was a study showing that there was a reduction in febrile neutropenia from 10% to 1%, it is possible that the threshold might have been listed at 10%. And someone could even make the argument that has been made by some that actually maybe the goal of febrile neutropenia should be the same as nausea. We want to have no febrile neutropenia whatsoever rather than just have this threshold of 20%. But that is when issues of costs, which may not be a factor for an individual patient, but could be a factor from a society standpoint, may play a role, and long-term complications associated with the use of CSFs. And I think the anecdotes that we observed in our surveys and we recently published, take them for what they are. These are anecdotes. But I think in the absence of long-term data, they just remind us that CSFs are drugs. And they may have long-term consequences that we are not yet aware of what they might be.
I just want to clarify for clinicians whether we are talking about cost or are we talking about risk-benefit, putting costs aside. We talked about bevacizumab and the issues there. What about this question of, well, we're trying to bring nausea and vomiting down to zero. Why wouldn't we do that for febrile neutropenia? Is it the side effects and toxicities or risk of growth factors? Tom, any thoughts?
Well, I think when you look at growth factors, that the 40% number actually came from cost analysis at that time. That was at the time GCSF came out, that's about what it saved you. Since that time, obviously, things have changed. The costs of hospitalization have gone up. So I think it's reasonable to look at the cut point again. And we also have to consider lost wages, caregiver costs, and that sort of thing. I guess my thought is in dealing with an individual patient, I feel my obligation to that patient is to give them the best treatment if it can be paid for, and that for the bigger issues of what's worth it to society, we need to go to society as a whole. That's not my decision to make alone. I can help inform the debate, but it's not for me to decide.
I just want to mention that actually, if you look at the regulatory environment, I think the FDA, if anything, has become more lenient in regards to this.
True.
And essentially, it was the Vogel paper, those data that led to the change in the package insert of pegfilgrastim in September of last year, lowering the threshold for using primary prophylaxis to 20%. You're correct, Tom, that earlier 40% was the threshold on the basis of economic analysis. And when the ASCO panel got together, we had access to new economic analysis that had been done that actually would justify the 20%. We felt, for the reasons that I mentioned before, that some of these economic analyses are incredibly unstable on the basis of what do you input in the model. So we decided exclusively to focus on the quote-unquote clinical benefit. And therefore, it was felt for whatever it is worth, that a reduction from approximately 20% to 1% on the risk of febrile neutropenia would justify on itself the consideration for the use of primary CSF use.